Psalm 100, we'll read the entire chapter, only 5 verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. There's our word. And into his courts with praise. Be, here it comes again, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I know I said we prayed already, but I feel like praying again, so let's do that. Father, we thank you for our time together. And now we just come to you and to your book, to the Word of God. We pray that you'll help us, lead and guide us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. As I mentioned, we're just on the cusp of a holiday season. And of course, it begins with just in a couple weeks, Thanksgiving. And then we move into the Christmas time, which is always a joyous time as well. And then, of course, the new year, which is a time of new beginnings. I'm not too big on New Year's resolutions, but I am big on New Year's goals, trying to set some goals for a year and to see some things come about. And like any Christian, and I hope you're this way, a Christian should never get stuck in a rut or just be happy with status quo or mediocrity. Paul said, I press toward the mark. He said, I'm pressing on, I'm reaching for higher ground. And that always ought to be the hallmark of a Christian, to say, what I did last year is that's behind me now. This new year, I want to step it up. I want to take it to the next level. I want to do more or better this next year than I did this past year. And that always ought to be our goal. But we'll talk about this holiday season as we're approaching now. It's, of course, from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. But as we consider these seasons, and particularly Thanksgiving, as we'll discuss a little bit today, I want to ask you this question. What do these seasons mean to you? For some, it's a time of hustle and bustle, shopping at the malls and trying to find the greatest deals, and nothing wrong with that, but you know, some, that's what it's all about. For some, it's a time of gathering with family and friends and loved ones and celebrating Thanksgiving or Christmas, getting together and just having a family time and connecting in that way. And for others, it's a time to really and truly reflect on the goodness of God and give him the thanks that are due his name and due to him, because he is so, so deserving. Amen. But while George Washington proclaimed a national celebration of gratitude all the way back in 1789, it might surprise you to know that the tradition of setting aside a specific day to give thanks dates back much farther. And you should probably know where I'm going with this, but it goes back to the Old Testament Israelites and they're observing feasts of thanksgiving. I think I've got some verses here to show you. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Leviticus 7 says, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. Verse 12 says, he shall offer it for a thanksgiving. These aren't on your page, in case you're looking for it. These are just some introductory verses, but underlined for emphasis. For a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Sounds yummy. Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And one more. 1 Chronicles 16. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So here's several Old Testament passages that instruct us or admonish us to give thanks unto the Lord. Of course, the first verse we looked at was the actual offering, a thanksgiving offering that the Israelites did or performed. And so this idea of giving thanks goes way beyond our national holiday all the way back to the Old Testament. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get right into the lesson here. First of all, I want to say this as introduction. As a redeemed people, It is of most importance that we remember God's continual goodness. Looks like my text was smaller than I usually do. Can you read that okay, Brother Joe? It's easy to read? Okay. We should remember God's continual goodness. Brother Greg came in back. We greeted each other, said hi, and one of the things I said to him, God is good all the time. And that's something we must remember, because we will hit hard times. We do have struggles. We do have challenges. We do have heartaches, all kinds of things that come into the Christian life. But regardless of all that, we must maintain a heart that says, no matter what I go through, no matter what I endure, God is always good. God is good. We must remember His continual goodness. And then because of that remembrance, we should offer God continual thanks. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that we remember God's continual goodness and therefore, as a result of that, give Him the thanks that are due His name? Why is that important? And that's our points today. So number one, giving thanks. When we give thanks, it reflects our heart for God. It reflects our heart for God. And let's go back to verses 1 and 2 and read that again. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I like the words joyful noise. Some say that's what they do when they're singing. They're making a joyful noise. But that's a neat phrase, a joyful noise. But verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I think you can kind of get the gist of what the psalmist is saying there when he says, a joyful noise and coming to the Lord with gladness and coming with singing. He's portraying this attitude and this heart that he has for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has for God when he gives thanks. The presence of thanksgiving is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. You think about that? When you are giving thanks unto the Lord, it's a reflection of what's happening in here. Now, if I'm walking around grumbling all the time, that's also a reflection of what's going on in here. But if I can maintain an attitude that says, regardless of what I'm going through, I must remember the goodness of God. And because I'm remembering the goodness of God, I therefore, consequently, I give Him the thanks that are due His name. If I can maintain that attitude day in and day, not day out, no matter what, whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley, if I can do that and give God thanks, then I'm reflecting what's going on in my heart. In other words, that's almost a good test for my own heart to say, hey, if I can gauge whether I'm giving thanks or I'm giving grumps, then I can gauge my heart, the condition of my heart. So not only is the presence of thanksgiving a reflection, but also the absence of thanksgiving is a reflection of your heart. If you just never thank the Lord for anything, you might want to do a heart check. Really, really now. God is good to us. God is good to us. He's good to us all the time. He's extremely good to us. And it shouldn't take, for any Christian, it shouldn't take someone coaxing and pushing you and kicking you in the bottom, trying to get you to think of something you can give God thanks about. There's plenty to thank Him for. Plenty. If it's just starting with your own salvation. Amen. God saved me, and I thank Him for that. So the thanksgiving is a reflection of what's going on in your heart, but also the absence of thanksgiving will reflect what's going on in your heart. Have you ever noticed that some people never have anything but spiteful things to say? They always have something negative. They always have something hurtful. They always have something to gripe about. But others, there's others you come across their paths and they're always full of encouragement. They have a good word to say. They have something positive to say. They have something encouraging to say. And which way are you? We should be the one that's encouraging. But what's the difference between those two people? One is spiteful and angry and hateful and nothing good to say, negative. The other one's positive, trying to encourage people. They both may have heartaches. That's not the issue. The issue is right here. What's happening right in here? Not my pocket, not my paper, not my pen. My heart. Maybe I should open another layer, right? My heart. It's a heart condition. So we must remember that. Rest assured, what's in your heart will find a way to work its way out in what you do and what you say. Hold your place there. Let's go over to the New Testament for a second. Look at this verse with me. I didn't put it on the screen. It's Luke chapter 6. I don't think I did, no. Luke chapter 6. That should be easy to find. New Testament, third gospel, Luke chapter 6. This is a powerful verse in context in relation to what we're discussing right now. Luke chapter 6. And I just said, rest assured, what's in your heart will find a way to work its way out through what you say and what you do. And we will substantiate that with this verse, Luke 6, 45. Jesus is speaking, and here's what he says. Let's go to 44. We'll kind of lead into it here. Well, 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That makes sense. Verse 44. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns even do not, men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. And then here's our verse. Ready? A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, what? His mouth speaketh. So I said, rest assured, what's in here will find a way to work its way out through what you say and what you do. And that verse certainly backs that up. It's what's in our heart, good treasure or evil treasure. So number one, giving thanks reflects our heart for God. So we want to be a thankful people. In that, we must see here, first of all, that a heart of thanks for God has a couple characteristics. First of all, it's a heart of joy. It's a heart of joy. And we gather that from in our text here. We see the words joyful noise, verse 1. And in verse 2, we see the word gladness. And of course, following that is a word singing, which if you're joyful and you're glad, you'll probably be singing. So singing would be a result of that. So it's a heart of joy. A heart of joy goes hand in hand with an attitude of thanksgiving. A heart of joy goes hand in hand with an attitude of thanksgiving. If you have that heart that we're speaking of, that remembers the continual goodness of God, and then as a result of that, you're thanking your God, then joy is going to be a natural byproduct of that because it goes hand in hand with thankfulness. When I receive a gift, Eugene gave me a $500 the other day. Amen. Appreciate that. I'm just kidding. If someone gave me a wonderful gift, I don't think I'm going to do this.
Thanks for the gift. Appreciate that a lot.
Especially if it was $500, I'm going to be, Eugene, man, thanks. That $500 came in so, that was at the right time, man. I needed that. That was wonderful. I can't thank you enough. I'm going to be excited, joyful, singing, ecstatic. Yeah, thank you. and it goes, my joy comes, it's in hand in hand with the thanksgiving. I'm not going to be grumpy. So they go hand in hand. Let's go on to the next thing here. Not only if we do this, have this attitude of thanksgiving, is it a heart of joy, but we have a heart of service. And before I say anything about that, let me back up. I missed a note here. It says, it's not on your sheet, but I wanted to say this. Our attitude towards God ought to be one that says, you ready? No matter what else is going on in my life, Lord, I am so thankful for all that you have done for me. Now, can I be honest with you? That's hard sometimes. That's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes we get grumpy and we're like, why is this happening to me? Lord, you know what you're doing. and we get there. But if you can let that come, acknowledge it, but push past it. We want to push through that. There's no sense pretending like we're perfect all the time. We're real. We're human. We struggle. We have an old flesh. And so all those problems are there. Don't ever think that what comes out of this pulpit towards you is something that there's this expectation that you are perfect, because the person standing behind the pulpit is not perfect either. But we have to work on these attitudes all the time. And one of those attitudes should be this: that, Lord, no matter what's going on in my life, whether it's up or down, good or bad, you're good to me all the time. We must maintain that thought pattern, that attitude. Don't pitch a fit with God. Amen. A heart of service. Okay, verse 2. It says, what's the first word? Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. So there's this service, and so that leads us to the next point. An attitude of thanksgiving is inseparable from a heart that knows the value of service to God. I like that phrase. You know, there is value in what I'm doing this morning. There is value in what Brother Doug did this morning when he drove the bus, or preacher, or Brendan who went on the bus and gathered up the kids. There's value in serving the Lord, great value. And a heart of thanksgiving helps us to understand that, Lord, not only am I happy that you, for all the things, I'm thankful and happy for all the things you've done for me, but also in a return way, I want to serve you for what you've done for me. I want to serve you. And there's value in service. And that's so important as well. Letter C, a heart of praise. So these are some characteristics that if we have the right heart, a heart of thanksgiving that reflects, our heart for God, then there's these three things that exist: a heart of joy, a heart of service, a heart of praise. We teach our children to say thank you because it's not a response that comes naturally. I think I mentioned last week how I was telling this lady I witnessed to. I was proving the point of having a sinful nature. I said, you know, we don't teach our children to cry. We don't teach them to scream. We don't teach them to steal. We have to teach them all the opposites. We have to teach them to be quiet. We have to teach them to not steal. We have to teach them to do good things. We have to teach them the right way, because what all the bad things just comes natural. Why is that? It's a sinful nature that's in us. And so we don't have to teach our children to say thank you. I mean, we do have to teach our children to say thank you, because it doesn't come natural. But what does come natural, and this is going to hit us, what comes natural for the adult really is not to think of the one who gave. We focus on what we got rather than who gave it. Back to Eugene, when he gave me that $500, of course it was Monopoly money, but when he gave me that $500, it's easy to focus all on here. Maybe my focus, oh, that's great, maybe I can use it and I need it and serve the purpose and met a need, that's wonderful. But boy, my real focus should be on the person that gave it. And so... with a heart of praise, we should focus on the one who gave the blessings to us. Of course, that's our Heavenly Father. When we don't feel like serving or giving praise to the Lord, it is a reflection of a heart that needs repentance and an adjustment, because it has become too full of what? Self. Boy, self is a nasty thing at times. Self, being consumed with self. If I fail to thank my God, if I fail to have an attitude of thanksgiving, it's because there's too much self going on. And so when I don't feel like serving, or I don't feel like giving thanks, I don't feel like giving praise, that tells me my heart needs to repent. And I need a major attitude adjustment, because I should be thanking my God on a daily basis. And all God's people said, amen. Okay? I'm sure you can agree with this. You must. At the age of 22, a Baptist scholar named Robert Robinson penned these words. You'll recognize them. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Yeah. Yeah, we need to praise him. We need to thank him. So number one, giving thanks will reflect our heart for God. Number two, giving thanks respects the ways of God. Okay, so we're shifting our focus a little bit here. So first of all, we said it reflects our heart. What's the condition of our heart? If we're giving thanks or not giving thanks, it's a heart issue. Now, we're saying giving thanks respects the ways of God. Notice verse 3 here. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Well, it's important to know where we came from. Amen. God, it's all because of God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, we're his people. I think Brother Kevin said it Wednesday night. We're only his people if we're born into the family of God. We're only his sheep if we're born into the herd, I guess you'd say. Just because we're born on this earth doesn't make us God's children. Like, we're his by creation, but that's as far as it goes. We must accept him as our Redeemer, our Savior, and then we become part of the family of God, and we are then his children, and we are in his herd, so to speak. Do sheep have herds? Is it a herd of sheep? Is that a right terminology, Brother Kevin, you know? Oh, flock. Yes, oh, how could I forget that? Of course, a flock of sheep. Duh, yeah, flock of sheep. Amen. So when we're saved, we're born into the flock. Amen. All right, so giving thanks reflects the ways of God. Let me see what we have here. The presence of thanksgiving in a believer's life is an indicator that he knows and respects our Lord for who he is. You know, I think if a child is reared properly and is taught the principle of giving thanks, then they know and respect their parents for who they are. This is my mom and dad. I love them. They're the ones that put a roof over my head. They're the ones that put clothes on my back. They're the ones that put food in my mouth, my tummy. They're the ones that provide all my needs. They're the ones that, and on it goes. They have a knowledge and a respect for who their parents are. And I think the same is true for a believer, that when you truly give thanks and the presence of thanksgiving is in your life and it's evident, then it's an indicator that you know and you respect who God is and what he does. How important that is. And let's consider a couple of those things now here. Next one is going to be this. He is our sovereign. He is our sovereign. I thought it'd be good if we defined that term. I think most of you probably would know, but here's the definition. It's not on your page, but just for our knowledge. Sovereign means supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as our God does. Or as it says here, as a sovereign ruler of the universe. That's our Heavenly Father. So he is our sovereign. So when we give thanks to God, we acknowledge that he is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. You see how this fits together? How the giving of thanks fits in with these things we're talking about? When I give thanks to the Lord and I have a heart of thanksgiving to him, I'm understanding, Lord, you are sovereign. You order everything that happens in my life, whether I think it's good or bad, it came across your desk first. And because of that, I understand you are sovereign. Nothing, there's no uh-ohs with God. God didn't miss anything. He didn't say, oh, how'd that happen? How'd that slip by? Oh, that fell through the cracks. No, it's God orders everything or allows everything. And in that sense, I can give God thanks because I understand he's sovereign. And I believe that's really important. Look at this verse with me here. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor came of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee. I like how he ended it here. Now, therefore, what for? Because of all I just said. Because you're awesome, because you're powerful, because everything came from you, because you own it all, you made it all. Because of all that, we give thanks. We thank thee, O Lord. And that's how that all fits together. So he is our sovereign. We need to move on here. He is our creator. Talking about when we give thanks, we're respecting the ways of God. And one of those ways is that he's our sovereign and now he's our creator. When we give thanks to God, we show our respect for our creator and the plan he has for our lives. When you were born, the Lord, of course, could look down through the time tunnel, through eternity, and know whether or not you're going to be saved and be his child. And all, you know, from the womb, he had a plan for your life. And when we give thanks, we're basically acknowledging and respecting the Lord for who he is, but also the plan that he has for our lives. And you know, people that claim to be self-made, they can never truly give thanks because they don't understand where they came from. But we understand that we're of the Lord. God made us. God created us. He is our creator. And because of that, I can thank him appropriately. And because of that, I understand that he has a plan for my life. Since he made me, he must have a plan. And when I give thanks, I'm respecting that plan. I'm acknowledging and respecting that plan. And then letter C, probably our favorite one, amen, he's our Redeemer. He's our Redeemer. Aren't you glad he redeemed you? Aren't you glad he bought you a second time? He made you, but then he redeemed you. And that's a blessed thought. God went to great lengths to ensure that we would have a way of redemption. That could be a whole 60-minute sermon right there. Couldn't it now? God went to great lengths. You know, I think about the plan of salvation and how simple it is for someone to understand. Even a child can understand it. That in itself is amazing how God just boiled it down to simple terms for people like you and me. But I think about our side of the equation. It's really simple. Just believe, accept, receive the gift of eternal life. And we illustrate it like I tell people when I'm witnessing to them, I'll say, if I give you this gift, what do you do? Do I ask you to pay for it? No, it's not a gift. Do I ask you to earn it and work for it? No, it's not a gift. What do you have to do for it to be yours? And they always say, just take it. Yeah, just take it. Just receive it. Well, that's how simple salvation is. We just receive it from the Lord. But on his side of the equation, whoa, I have no comprehension of that. How did the Lord work all of that out for us to be saved? How does he apply the blood of Jesus Christ to my soul? I could be full of questions. We don't understand it. Don't need to. All I need to know is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all I need to know. When I get to heaven, maybe the Lord will play a DVD for us and show us, here's my side of the story. And we'll go, whoa, it's going to blow us away. But it's a simple thing. Back to the point here is this. God went to great lengths to make sure that we could have a plan of redemption. And for that, we need to be thankful. If you are a child of God, then you can have the greatest thanksgiving ever by taking time to thank and praise God that he has redeemed you. He has bought you back from the slave market of sin. You are not going to hell anymore. If we can praise God for this, if we can't praise God for this, then there's really a problem with our heart. And we need to get that tuned up properly. Let's finish number three here. So, giving thanks reflects our heart for God. It respects the ways of God. And thirdly, giving thanks responds to the love of God. Hey, can I ask you this morning, do you respond to God's love? You know, I'm thinking about my wife, and she's not here this morning, so keep praying for her. She's still a bit sick. But when she extends her hand and touches, what do I do? Just ignore it? No, I respond. If she leans over and whispers something nice in my ear, I'll say something back to her. It's a response. And I respond to the love that she shows towards me, which is right and proper and should be that way, amen. And I guess any relationship, if there's some extension of kindness or whatever, you would respond. Well, do you respond to God? He gave us this huge love letter called the Bible. I remember one time hearing a story about someone that took their Bible on the front blank page. They wrote their name, Dear John. And then on the back page, they wrote, With love, Jesus. Like it was one big letter. And it is. It's one big love letter from God to you. And God's showing us, He allowed us to wake up this morning. We woke up. We realized, oh good, I'm breathing. My heart's functioning. And I can actually walk and on it goes. I can take a shower. I have hot water. I had a vehicle to get here this morning, and it's running, and it started, and I could walk in the church. I could have some black coffee, amen. And all through the day, God is always giving, showing, extending love, mercy, and grace. We're talking about love, but He extends a lot of things to us all day long. And here we are, da, 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 we're busy doing this, we're busy doing that. We're just totally ignoring what the Lord's doing. We must respond to Him. If I ignored my wife when she would touch me or say something, that would not be good. That's not for a good relationship. Just to totally ignore someone who's showing, putting an effort to do something for you or say something to you or extend love. And so giving thanks, when we give thanks, it's a response to the love that God is showing us. And boy, how important that is. I think God wants us to respond to Him. When we give thanks to God, we show a proper response to the great love He has shown us. And it is a great love. It's an amazing love. Okay, a couple ways we can do this then. How do we respond to God for the love that He shows us? Well, two things we can do. We can worship. We can show God worship. You know, sometimes we say the word worship, the first thing that comes to mind is worship. Music or whatever, but you know, you can worship God without a single note of music. You must understand that. Don't have to be any music. You can worship. Worship is simply this. It's a state of the heart that gives respect and adoration to God. In fact, that's the point here. I'm going to put it on screen. Whoop. Worship is simply a state of the heart that gives respect and adoration. I like that word, adoration. It's an expression of your heart, here's a good statement, of the worth of God. The worth of God. So worship has nothing to do with dancing, music, any of that. Music is a form of worship. You can use it. But in the quietness of your own heart, you can worship God by praising Him, having a heart that respects Him, and this word adoration, that's a great word. To adore God and tell Him so and use adjectives to explain how you see Him. Next. Second way is with gratitude. Of course, this really is the whole lesson, isn't it? Gratitude, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be in our hearts and it should never end, no matter what cares of life we are dealing with. Thanksgiving should be in our hearts. Okay, this psalm concludes with the reason we're to give thanks. So let's read this final verse and we'll be closing in about 1 minute here. Verse 5, for the Lord is what? Good. That's the whole reason to give thanks to the Lord. He's good. What else? His mercy is what? Everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Hey, that's a great promise for the preservation of truth, isn't it? God promised to preserve His truth to all generations. We have it today. So praise the Lord for that. So there's the reasons why we would give God thanks. And the heart that blesses God through good times and bad is the heart that understands what it means to be thankful. So good times and bad. We alluded to that already several times. And then our conclusion, the art of thanksgiving is really thanks living. It is giving thanks, not just on Thanksgiving, but on every day of the year. It reflects a heart for God, acknowledges the goodness of His ways, and responds to the love that He shows His children. Amen.